Luis Moreno Ocampo, thank you so much for joining us on Up Front.
My pleasure. It's very frustrating what happened.
Hamas's October 7th attack and Israel's subsequent bombardment of Gaza have both been met with accusations of genocide and ethnic cleansing and various other war crimes. But before we get into the specifics of these accusations, I wanted to ask you if you could first sort of briefly define what constitutes a war crime.
Well, war crimes are basically defined by the Geneva Convention and now by the Rome Statute. And they basically, there are limits how soldiers could behave during a war. That is a war crime. Then you have another type of crimes, crimes against humanity and genocide. Crimes against humanity is a widespread or systematic attack against the civilian population. And that's why the Hamas attack is a crimes against humanity. But in addition, you have a specific crime, genocide. Genocide is an attack, is a crime to destroy an ethnic, religious, or racial group. And I believe that's important because the genocide is a convention. And it's the convention that is requiring the states, parties, to prevent genocide. That's why genocide is so important, because it's the only crime of these crimes that they have this obligation, not just for not to commit the crimes. There are 153 states, parties of the Genocide Convention, including U.S. and Russia and almost all of the countries, who are committed to prevent and punish genocide. That's why genocide is so important.
How about ethnic cleansing? Some people have argued that what's happening in Gaza is ethnic cleansing. How do you define that?
Ethnic cleansing is like a poem. It's a poem. Ethnic cleansing is a nice expression, but it's not a crime itself. Ethnic cleansing is a wording used to avoid to define something as genocide. Why? Because if you're a state, if you are U.S., and you say it's a genocide, you have the duty to prevent. If you say it's ethnic cleansing, nothing happened. It's okay.
So let's talk about this idea of genocide. According to Palestinian health officials, as of this recording, Israel has killed over 15,000 Palestinians. Around 40% of that number are children. They've bombed hospitals, schools, refugee camps. Israeli army spokesperson Daniel Hagari, in fact, openly admitted that the, quote, emphasis is on damage and not on accuracy. And of course, this is all in addition to Israel preventing nearly all food from coming in, all fuel from coming in. People argue that this is a form of collective punishment. My question is there an actual genocide taking place?
Well, let me summarize. The standard should be reasonable basis to believe. It's very low. We're not in a court of justice. We're understanding. So if I am a prosecutor, I start investigation when there are reasonable basis to believe. In the Hamas-Israel conflict, you have Hamas committing war crimes, including today the hostages is a war crime, crimes against humanity, and the crimes committed on October 7 in Israel, and probably genocide, because Hamas has intention to destroy Israelis as a group. Then Israel reaction is also include many crimes. It's complicated to identify the war crimes because each bombing needs to be evaluated. But there is something very clear. The siege of Gaza itself, that is extermination or persecution as a crime against humanity, and it's a form of genocide. Article 6C or 2C in the Genocide Convention defined that you don't need to kill people to commit genocide. The rules say inflicting conditions to destroy the group, that itself is a genocide. So creating the siege itself is a genocide. And that is very clear. The Israel won the siege, it's very clear. And the intentions to destroy the people, many officers from the Israel government are expressing genocidal intentions. That's why it's easy to say, and the reasonable basis to believe, Israel is committing a genocide in Gaza, just on the siege. Then each bombing, each of the killings should be properly investigated. But come on, we have already cleared the siege itself is a genocide. And that's why this ceasefire should not transform in a new genocide, please.
You talked about Hamas also being engaged in war crimes. Of course, on October 7th, they killed hundreds of Israeli civilians at a music festival. They've also kidnapped civilians. These included babies, children, the elderly, the disabled. I mean, we can agree that, prima facie, those are war crimes, no?
Exactly. Hamas, October 7th, is clearly a war crime because you're attacking civilians. It's a crime against humanity because it's a planned attack against civilian population. And it's a genocide because the killings were intended to destroy Israeli group. And that's a genocide. And that's why the October 7th attack is a war crime, it's a crime against humanity, and it's a genocide under reasonable basis
to believe. Could you say a bit more about why this constitutes a genocide? I mean, some people have argued that they are engaged in an act of resistance intended not to destroy Jewish people as an ethnicity, nationality, or race, but to defeat a nation state that is attempting to occupy them, that are defeating an occupying power.
Well, I am influenced because when I was a prosecutor, I was involved for 3 years in the Palestine-Israel conflict. That's why it's for me so painful to see what happened today, because in those days we had hopes. And I remember Hamas sent to me a professor working with them, and he explained to me that Hamas believed Jewish people should not be in Palestine. It's not just about protecting Gaza. Hamas believed there should not be no Jews in Palestine. That's why, for them, killing the Jews in Israel is part of their strategy. And that, I'm sorry, it's a genocide. Because it's an attack trying to destroy a group, in this case the Israelis, in Palestine.
Okay, the Hamas charter was updated, as you know, in 2017. This is an update from the 1988 charter. And in it, they explicitly state, Hamas affirms that its conflict is with the Zionist project, not with the Jews because of their religion. Hamas does not wage a struggle against the Jews because they are Jewish, but wages a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. I'm not here to argue whether that's true or not, but if we were to assume that that were true for a moment, would that then nullify the argument of genocide as a legal matter?
Well, as I say, I am using as a standard, the standard is not so high, it's reasonable basis to believe. That's a standard to start an investigation. And according with that standard, for me, the genocide should be investigated in the case of Hamas. And maybe they adjusted, and maybe they now are not trying to do that. But this event sound that they want to kill these people, to remove, to expel the Israeli people from the land. So that is, for me, that provide reasonable basis to believe that it's a genocide. I'm not saying it's a conviction, because that's the point. To convict one of the Hamas leaders for genocide, you need a proper trial. You need to offer the Hamas leader the opportunity to explain his arguments and present evidence, and then the judges, to convict a person, will have a higher standard. They have to go to beyond reasonable doubt standard. It's higher standard. That's why I'm talking about...
One of the things I've also been wondering about is Palestine is a member of the ICC. Hamas could be prosecuted for war crimes under that premise. Israel, however, is not a signatory to the ICC, and it has not ratified the Rome Statute. So what jurisdiction does the ICC have to investigate and or prosecute Israel?
Well, the International Criminal Court has jurisdiction in Gaza, West Bank, and East Jerusalem. That was a long process, started in my time, and ended in 2021. The court accepted that the investigation had to investigate crimes committed in Gaza, West Bank, and East Jerusalem. That means any crime committed in these places for any person could be mitigated by the International Criminal Court. That's why Israel committing crimes in Gaza could be mitigated by the International Criminal Court. And I would suggest, for me, even so important what's happening in Gaza, which is massive, is what's happening in West Bank. Because West Bank, it has more influence the Minister of Security of Israel. And I'm shocked that this man is Minister of Security. The person who is Minister of Security of Israel today, Israel armed forces rejected him as a soldier because he was an extremist. It's a man who was investigated and convicted for hate. So this man, an extremist settler, is providing weapons to settlers and running activities in West Bank, fueling the conflict. That's why, for me, in the same way, it's so appealing and awful what happened in Gaza. It's incredible that in West Bank, there's no more violence, because this person, the Minister of Security, has influence there, is providing weapons to settlers, and in fact, there are almost, I understand, more than 200 people killed. So that's why, for me, Gaza is one awful scenario, but West Bank is also very important, and you have to understand.
Should he in particular be investigated? Should Itamar Ben-Gvir in particular be investigated for war crimes?
Mr. Gvir should be investigated, absolutely, yes, on what he's doing, providing weapons to settlers. Is he inciting settlers to violence? I read that he was using the police to crash the meeting of the family, meeting with those who were liberated from jail, and also the incarceration. There are now people incarcerated in West Bank. So all these activities should be investigated and prevented and stop it.
In March 2023, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Russia, however, is not a signatory to the court. And aside from the warrant restricting Putin's travel to countries that are signatories, he's basically faced no consequences. So can the ICC really do anything to prosecute non-members? Can anything actually be enforced?
Well, you got to understand the enforcement of the court decisions, of the International Criminal Court decision, is in the hands of the states. So President Putin was indicted, and no one is actively trying to arrest him, but he could not, he had to stop flying to South Africa or going to Brazil, because Brazil and South Africa could arrest him. And in fact, that happened with President Bashir. When I indicted President Bashir for genocide, he went to South Africa to show he's free, but he had to escape because a judge from South Africa ordered to arrest him. So arresting is the most complicated thing, but answering your first question was, can ICC investigate West Bank crimes? Absolutely, yes. Can indict people? Absolutely, yes. Arresting is a different matter. But my point is, ICC is doing what it should do, and it's very important. But criminal law is the last resort, should not be the first resort. So what I feel we are lacking is the commitment of the international community, including the bigger states, to respect, make Israel and Hamas to respect the law. Look, since September, the UN Advisor on Prevention of Genocide is alerting about 5 genocides ongoing in 2 months. So that's why the problem is today. The states are not respecting the legal boundaries, and we will kill civilization. We are not just killing individuals in Gaza or in West Bank or in Armenia. We are killing civilization. And that's why it's not just about Israelis or Armenians or Darfur people or Tigray people in Ethiopia or Rohingya in Myanmar. It's about civilization. We are going to catastrophe. So it's time to change the game. And we need leaders, not just prosecutors or judges.
Luis Moreno Ocampo, thank you so much for joining me on Upfront.
Thank you.